in today's church. And so we said the five things were, first of all, the believer, then members, then disciples, ministers, and sons. All right. So we I think we covered level one, two. I think we were on three. Cause I want to say a few things there before I leave there in the level three. All right. We said that the basic raw material for apostolic ministry is a disciple. So we need more disciples than devotees, converts, if the church is to fulfill kingdom purposes. You know, because in Matthew 28:19 it says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So the apostolic commission was not a mandate for every believer or every church member. It was an assignment for disciples who had walked with the master for 3.5 years. So these different levels, and once you really understand the different levels, you'll be able to see exactly where you are, and then you'll understand why, you know, people who you go to church with, why they in certain places, because sometimes there are, you know, people have calling on their lives, and they never get past, you know, being members. You with me? So we must always understand that, you know, Apostle said something tonight about, you know, it's not about titles or position and that kind of thing and stuff. And a lot of times that's what people think it's about. And but it's a whole lot more to it than that. So let's see here. In Luke 16:12, it says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? If you're not faithful in the ministry where God has called you to, and I want to look at some things tonight, because a lot of times many people in the church never really get to the level of sonship. They never get there. They be in ministry for years and years and never get there, because on the front of their mind is always their agenda. They're always thinking about, you know, what God want to do with them and that sort of thing and stuff. And that's one thing I'm so grateful about for the apostolic, is that, you know, for years the Lord had been showing me how important it is to glean from somebody who's already been where you're going. And so I saw so many renegades, though. I saw so many renegades. They, you know, they taking out, you know, they passing by, you know, waving at me, you know, as if, you know, you being left behind, that kind of thing and stuff. But I knew that I'm not supposed to move until God tell me. I'm not supposed to be going somewhere because somebody else is going. And one of the things that really held me in place, you know, the scripture talks about a man building his house on the sand, and then the one that built his house on the rock. You know, that helped me, because whenever God is doing something in your life, you can't compare it to what's happening in somebody else's life. You know, sometimes I've seen, you know, women be single for a long time, and then they think that their biological clock is running out. So they just go grab Joe Blow, and Joe Blow is the devil. You know what I'm saying? Then they got all this hell they got to put up with. You mean to tell me you couldn't wait a little longer? You understand what I'm saying? For God to send you, you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Then you got to have hours of counseling sessions, trying to get them free from, you know, talking about, you know, they're praying, you know, God said he's going to send a tall, dark, and handsome, but they ain't tell you it's going to be the devil. Somebody prophesied to you, that he's gonna come and tear the hinges off the door to try to get to you. Yeah, but they didn't tell you he was gonna be Freddy Krueger. you know what I'm saying? So sometimes, same way in ministry, a lot of times people think that, okay, because somebody may feel that just, not long been in ministry and stuff, all of a sudden it appears that they're blowing and going. But the thing about it is, when a thing doesn't have a proper foundation, it's just a matter of time for the wind start blowing and it tears it apart. And so we have to always know and understand that God knows what he's doing. And God called you and God set you in a place so that you can be imparted to, so that you can be nurtured in a certain way, because he has a work for you in the future. You with me? All right. So that's why we got to make sure that we are faithful in that which is another man's. This is consistent with the lives of Moses, Joshua, Samuel, and David, Elijah and Elijah, Jesus and the apostles, Paul and Timothy. God would not allow us to inherit that which God has not given to those above us if that is what we personally despise. So the disciple does not want to be anybody else, but to be like his teacher. See, that's when you know a person, a real disciple, when they want to be like the teacher. It is not until you get to this level that you're really ready for the apostolic. You're not ready to really be apostolically trained if you have not reached this particular level here as being a disciple. So he will desire to continue what his master began in his life and generation. The master will then be remembered through the lives of his disciples. Hallelujah. We don't have to recreate the wheel. God is already shaping us to fulfill his will and purpose through what he's already given apostle. And I don't care what nobody have to say. I don't care what nobody say about this. God has called us to be a wealthy tribe. Yes, sir. And so, if folk want to be talking about, they called of God, they want to be broke, well, so be it. I mean, we wasn't called to be broke. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We were not called to be broke folk. If God had called us to be broke folk, he never would have called us to follow an apostle of finances. So that means that we got a lot of building to do. What God has called us to do is going to take a whole lot of money. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Praise God. And so we have to come to a place where we understand, man, that, we'll never be broke another day in our life. We'll never be broke. See, there ain't no sense in me trying to find a new slogan. God already gave apostles. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not broke. I have a seed. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't have to go around trying to, come up with some new revelation. Let's see if I can find one. No. I already have what I need. You understand what I'm saying? And so sometimes people have a problem with fighting with somebody else who God gave a revelation to. Yes, oh, God, don't make me go there. Sometimes in the body of Christ, and I got to say this, apostles have said it before, but I want to reiterate, the most segregated place in America many times on Sunday morning in churches. Yes, and many times with a man like apostle who has a revelation, men rather try to steal it than to follow him. Men of other races, they rather try to steal the word that God gave him instead of following them so he could. Now, I don't care how nobody feel about it. Apostle is the richest Saul. Hallelujah. Anywhere that I know of, I don't know. Y'all may know some place I don't know. But I don't care anywhere you go, there is nobody who has this anointing for finances like Apostle has. Praise the Lord. And look, ain't no sense in folk hating it. When you got it, you got it. When I mean, God gave it to him. If you're going to be mad with somebody, be mad with God. You understand what I'm saying? If somebody follow Apostle and see how blessed he is, ain't no sense in them being mad with him. He didn't do it. He said all the time, I didn't do this. Get mad with God. Say, Lord, you shouldn't have did it for Apostle. You shouldn't have. Lord, you shouldn't. Now get mad with God. Don't go around, you know. I've been in restaurants with Apostle, and people come, you know, throwing stuff, you know, that what you want, you know, the menu and stuff. Wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute, hold up here. You understand what I'm saying? Man, just trying to follow his assignment, and you got haters everywhere. But y'all know a hater only makes us greater. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to take a look at this fourth level. I want to take a look at this fourth level here. The ministers. It is only at this level that spiritual responsibility can be given to those within the house. A minister is one who is responsible for accurate implementation of the degrees that have been decided on by the king, who is exercise accurate government through the minister's rulership. In essence, a minister is one who helps implement accurate government within the church by his role and function as the appointed representative of the set man. The set man is the person, or the set woman is the person who God has put in authority in that place, right? All right. He contributes his skills, talents, graces, gifts, and anointing to help accelerate the implementation of all that is needed to bring the desires of the set man into fulfillment. Praise God. All right. Okay. It's just like, you know, I'm here teaching at the School of Ministry. I didn't come here to give my my vision about my agenda. No. I can't. My purpose is to help to fulfill what God called Apostle to do. And to get the students to understand. See, God set this school up so that the students would see. There's been times when I've been in this school, Apostle stand up teaching, he just turned to another man. And so that the students could see this anointing that was up, that is up on him. You with me? And so we're like the appetizer. We're not the entree. Apostle is, you understand what I'm saying? So we just enhance what he's doing. We're not here to give our revelation. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why we come in here teach. Apostle can teach what he wants, but we better follow this book. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? So the ministers in the house are not just people who are ministering what they want and what they are gifted in. They have to accurately use what they have with the purpose of fulfilling the mandate God has given to the set man of the house. Hallelujah. And see, watch this. I want to tell y'all this is a secret. Whenever you have the opportunity to minister wherever you are, you always acknowledge the set person of the house. Yes, y'all with me here? Yes, see, because the job, if the set person give you the responsibility to minister, amen, you should be saying what they said. Right. This is what pastor said. This is how, you understand? This is what the apostle said. Because my job is to further implement what he's been teaching and not come with some off the wall revelation that I saw on TBN. You understand what I'm saying? Just teach what he's teaching. Y'all still here? All right. So, oh God. So for Joshua to fulfill his mandate to bring the people of God into possession of the land, he needed to have men he could command to carry out his instructions, which are part of his strategy and leadership. Now, see, you can't have folk who, all right, watch this. Somebody get up and say, well, I know pastor said this, but the Holy Ghost told me. That God don't work like that. No, God don't work like that. But there are a lot of super spiritual ministers who feel like God has given them a word. I know this is what pastor said, but God said. But God told me. That's no way in the world. God, let me tell you something. That's just like, you know, the person working at Walmart. Supervisor. And here it is, the clerk going over the supervisor talking about what the manager said. When the manager come in, they tails are in trouble because they out of rank the way they operating. You can't work on this level and all of a sudden you jump over the person who God put over you. I mean, who you working under? No. But there's a whole lot of folk that do it in the name of God. Well, you know, the Lord gave me this dream. Ain't what the Lord didn't give you no dream. That's that stuff you ate before you went to bed. That's not God. But I'm serious, y'all. You got a lot of folk. I mean, I've seen folk, all right, I'll tell you, for instance, I had this man who he used to be, you know, he was a minister. And so we were in conversation. So we had been trained to go out and witness a certain way. And so when he got out there and stuff, you know, this man was... you know, like, here it is, we are witnesses, and, you know, somebody out there, you know, they got a drink or something, you know, and, he won't take a hook. Because he said the Lord told him that he had to be one of them in order to win them. And then the man got on drugs. The same preacher I'm talking about got on drugs. And so I went to see him. I said, man, what's going on with you? He said, well, man, he said, I know y'all wouldn't understand this, but the Lord triggered my addiction and caused me to get back on drugs so that I could better. Say, because y'all can't minister to somebody who's in the crack. You can't either. On crack, you can't either. You understand what I'm saying? So, but some people get these wild ideas. This is why it's so important to have somebody important in your life. You got to have somebody imparting wisdom into you, understanding, revelation, insight. You understand what I'm saying? You just can't go out there. You're on the devil to eat your lunch. I mean, this man is dead today because he didn't have no, he wouldn't let nobody father him. He wouldn't let it. No, he thought he had it. And that's what happens a lot of times. But, and this is what we're trying to teach you, not to let this kind of thing happen to you in the school. You go into this school, you cannot afford to be duped by the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So, Joshua 1:6. Praise God. Like I said, apostle said this tonight, Be careful of the traffic. Whole lot of traffic out there. Whole lot of traffic. Everybody going this way. Everybody that's going that way don't mean they're going the right way. Big organizations and stuff. You know, I've been a part of them. Shh. Praise the Lord. Joshua 1 verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide inheritance, for an inheritance of the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. And then the 10th verse says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals within 3 days. You shall pass over this Jordan and go and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And then verse 16, you got to see when orders were given, people just carried them out. They carried them out because they're trying to help the set man fulfill his purpose that God has given. You with me? Then verse 16 says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You see that? And say, we will go. And then verse 17 says, according as we hearken unto Moses. You see that? It's telling Joshua, just like we did for Moses, we're going to do it for you. Now, let me blow your mind about something. All right. You know, Apostle, when he gets ready to retire, he's going to pass the baton on to Leroy Jr. Dr. Leroy Jr., y'all with me? Yes, guess what? I'm going to serve Leroy Jr. just like I serve Apostle. Yes, see, that's hard for some people. No. When you understand what God is doing, then the next person in line, that don't mean that you start following. Right. Dr. Leroy is younger than I am, but that doesn't mean anything. A, there's no age in the spirit. You with me? You with me? So, and it's another thing. Oh, God, help me here. This another thing is we have to be careful in ministry who we get connected to. See, because watch this. All right. My purpose for coming following apostles is because God told me. All right. So in a relationship that I form within the organization, y'all with me? Any relationship that I form, if they start following apostle, our relationship is over. Let me tell you why. Can I help y'all? Because Satan's job is, see, Satan already know who's the imposters. So that's what the Bible says. We have to be careful about rooting up the wheat with the tare. You with me? So many times we get into relationships and stuff, and then all of a sudden a person leave or something, and then here we are, we contemplating leaving. No. My purpose of coming here wasn't because of you. My purpose of coming here because God told me to follow him. Ooh, Jesus, hallelujah. Wait a minute, I'm going to show you scripture. Oh, Jesus, Lord, help me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have mercy here. All right. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. I'll show you something. Yeah, this ain't no package deal. I ain't coming here on no package deal. I come here because God sent me. First John. Wait, I'm in First Peter. First John. First John 2. I'm going to show you something. First John, the second chapter. Look at verse 19. My page is stuck. All right. Look at verse 19 says. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
It said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. See, you got to be careful. See, this is how a lot of times people get tripped in ministry. Because See, like Apostle said, got to be careful of the traffic. Be careful of the traffic. So he said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all with us. Or they were not all of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's another thing that the Holy Spirit taught me about not allowing. I mean, come on, can I help y'all? Sometimes we get so involved in relationships that we forget about what God told us. God, wait. And then you get confused. You wonder what you're supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be following the one God called me to follow. Because God has given me an assignment. And if I get off track, I'm going to get out of alignment with my assignment. And that's what's happening to a whole lot of folks. So let's look at a few features of a minister. A minister, one who functions and contributes his grace to the overall edification of the church. He tells us what he has to be in maximum capacity so that he can perform well to move the people toward forward in the pursuit of destiny. The minister contributes in such a way to accelerate growth of the whole body. You know, the Bible talks about the whole body fitly compacted, while one joint supplies the other. All right. So whenever this level of ministers, they have to be trying to connect the rest of the body. So whenever you have people who are ministers and they are causing divisions, how many of you know all that is folk who've been hired by Satan to undermine the plan of God? That's what it's doing, undermining the plan of God. And so I've seen in so many instances where can I help y'all with something? Now, if people were evil, it'll be easy for you to detect them. But Satan will use good folk. Y'all with me? See, you can be good with a hidden agenda. You can be a good person. I mean, just basically a good person. Everybody like you. But you got a hidden agenda. You got some things. See, watch this. See, you cannot start a ministry in another man's ministry. I don't care what kind of gifts, what kind of talents you have. God has given you those gifts and those talents to help him to implement what he's given to that said person. Y'all still with me? Hallelujah. So a minister is one who operates in a spirit of excellence to provide peak performance, because he realizes that he is but a steward of God's grace and gifting. A minister understands he is called to faithfulness and that he must employ every faculty of his life to bring the best of the people, the best for the people of the house. See, that's why God told Moses, say, Moses, I want you to get all the elders out. I want you to get them out. And I'm going to put the spirit that's up on you on them. You know why? Because I need them to see what you see. I need them to have the same care for the people that you have for them. You with me? So it's just like, okay, all right, my job here in the school of ministry is to make sure, amen, I can't come in here and mishandle folk. I can't. My job is to do what apostle does. You with me? And the thing about it is, apostle is the one set over this house to bring correction. So I can't be up here dogging nobody out. You understand what I'm saying? I'm supposed to bring the same care, love, and thing that he has for the people. You with me? And if don't nobody know this, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something I know. God is something. God is somebody. God is awesome. God let me get in close enough proximity to really see the man's heart. And his heart is for the people. I'm going to tell you right now, his heart is for the people, period. That's what his heart's for. I'm talking about every waking and morning and stuff. He gets up. Amen. He's trying to prepare himself, put himself in a position so that he can give the people what God has given to him. Well, I'm telling you something. They got some preachers who this is nothing but a job. And got folk come in, they flock, and all they do is they prepare outline, get that ready to give to the folk, but they ain't thinking about the people. And that's not and that's not the Lord. That's not God. So a disciple. I'm going back to disciple now. You cannot disciple people if you have not been discipled. And a lot of folk hadn't been discipled. They're trying to disciple folk. How you going to disciple somebody? How you going to do something that you hadn't been done to you? You ain't listening to nobody. You've been buck wild ever since you've been in ministry. You know what I'm saying? Here it is. You trying to, oh, Jesus. All right. Let's go. The minister in the church represents the set man as a member of the set man's governance. That's who they represent. A minister functions under the authority of the set man and learns to live in total accountability for what he has been entrusted with. Got to be accountable. A minister knows his boundaries and will operate honorably in what has been given him. He knows that what he has was given him by those who appointed him. He knows that the authority he has was given to him because he's come under the authority of the set man. Hallelujah. A minister in the house captures the heart of the owner of the ministry. This ability to know the heart and mind of the set man of the house will allow us to have access to the grace of God in the man that's above us. Oh, God. Oh, my God. See, that's what you want. You want the grace that's on Apostle's life. You understand what I'm saying? You want that grace. You want God to, Paul spoke about the grace that was on his life. And so Timothy, them guys that was walking with Paul, they got that grace. That same anointing that was up on the Apostle Paul was on Timothy's life. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, I found no person like-minded like him. I mean, because he's been paying attention. He's been in the school of ministry. He's been watching closely. He's been taking notes. He's been attentive. Hallelujah. So Let me go to Psalms. I got a few minutes. Let's go to Psalms. Yeah. Wait, before I go there, connecting accurately to Elijah, the man of God, allowed Elijah to access God of the man. Ooh. You know, we grew up, in the Baptist church. You know, when the deacon prayed, they said, "We come in, Lord, I come in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They called up on because they knew that God was with them. And so whenever Elijah got ready, when Elijah got ready to go up on a chariot, Elijah saw him. And so when that mantle fell, the Bible said he rent his clothes and then he took up Elijah's mantle. And then he struck that water with that mantle. He said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" Y'all better bag up off me up in here. See, y'all think it's sacrilegious for me to say, "Where's the God of Apostle?" Praise God. All right. Okay, this fifth level. Final stage of maturity we're looking for in those that are in the house of God. The greatest asset of the church is not just its people, but the right people. Churches are filled today with all kinds of people, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the dirty dozen. Pastors are becoming discouraged, raising a whole company of people who are totally disconnected from God and from the purposes of God in the house. Oh, boy, you're talking about, oh, Jesus, when you got to be dragging people who really don't want to come. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, at the end of the day, only sons will remain in the house to inherit what the father has laid aside as an inheritance. The prodigal son is the picture of many in the current leadership today. They enjoy the blessing and benefit of the legacy of the man of God is bringing. Now, there's another thing. There's another thing, y'all. All right. You know, Apostle was mentioning about that, you know, the lady with the $4,000, and then she got a raise on her job. That's a direct result of her being connected with Apostle. Let me tell y'all what happened to me the other day. I went to prayer. We have prayer every morning at our church at 6 o'clock. I went to prayer, but I was supposed to came up here to help, you know, put up the lights and stuff. But I had forgotten my seed. I said, oh, man. I said, I got to go back home. And so I wanted to be here on time because Dr. Leroy told me that the staff prayed from 8 to 8:30, I think it was. So he wanted me to be here by 9, all right? So I said, oh, man, I'm going to be late if I go all the way back home. So I stopped to get a smoothie, all right? I stopped to get a smoothie, and so this pastor came up behind me. You know, he pulled up, and so I hadn't seen him in a long time. I knew him. They hadn't seen him in a long time, so we talking. So, you know, he was talking about this pastor he was following and all these wonderful things that was happening in his life. And so I was, he just kept on. You know, he just kept on. I was trying to just keep quiet. Because, I mean, I want him, I mean, you know, you see, this man wanted to follow Apostle years ago, but I told him, I said, man, look, You looking for FaceTime, you looking for the ride on the jet, all that kind of stuff ain't gonna happen. You're looking for prestige, and it ain't gonna happen with Apostle. So he was letting me know that he had connected with this other guy and all this stuff was happening. And so I told him a few things that was happening because I followed, you know, no competition stuff, but the man you following is no greater than the one I'm following. And things that's happening in your life because of who you're following ain't no greater than the thing that's happening in my life because I'm following Apostle. So I said a few things to him, and then all of a sudden, he said, hold on, wait a minute. He went to his trunk, came back with $500, put it in my hand. And so the same man, some years back, he had given me $1,000. The man said, God told me to sow into you. He said, I'm believing God for a house. Well, at the time, I was broke as the Ten Commandments that Moses dropped when he come out the mountain. So what I did was I took the $1,000, brought it to Apostle. The man got a new house. So I told him, I said, remember the last time you did this, you know. So the man said, hold up. He said, let me go back to the trunk. So he came back with another 100. Exactly how much I needed for my seed. Now, that's supernatural. God gives seed to the sower. I didn't have my seed, so God just provided seed for me. And let me tell you something. That happened in your life, too, but a lot of times you eat it. Is it true? It happened to you, too. But you got to recognize the seed. I never told this man how much I sow. This man don't know nothing about this. But supernatural, he give me exactly how much I need. The thing about it, at Prosperity Revival, I just went up 100. He gave me my old seed at first, but then the Holy Ghost moved on and said, look, I already bumped him up. You got to go get another 100 to give to him. I'm out of time. It's not how you start. How you finish? Praise God.